różnych społeczności, różnych krajów, narodów. I myślę, że to będzie bardzo dla nas
cenne. One additional point. If you wish to speak up, so come to the microphone in front here so that we can both see and hear the speaker, because we are also conveying and transmitting.
Taką obawę, żeby publicznie się pokazać w internecie, a chciałby odpowiedzieć na pytanie, no to proszę o podniesienie ręki, wtedy ktoś podejdzie z mikrofonem i będzie można czy to zadać pytanie, czy odpowiedzieć na pytanie. Bardzo chcielibyśmy, żeby to była wspólna społeczność, taka wymiana myśli, nie tylko między nami tu siedzącymi, ale przede wszystkim z braćmi i siostrami siedzącymi na sali. No i po tym takim trochę przy długim wstępie przejdźmy do sedna, dla którego się tutaj spotkaliśmy, ponieważ chcielibyśmy mówić nie tyle o tym, jakie proroctwa się w tej chwili konkretnie gdzie wypełniają, ale bardziej chcielibyśmy mówić o tym, jakie
but also about practical lessons we can draw upon those scriptures. And fellowship is relying on, often on those precious fragments of the scriptures. One of those ideas which we often relate to is the Babylon. So let's start by recalling maybe and asking, what do we mean when we say Babylon? And especially maybe more controversial question. Do we have, what's our understanding? Do we have brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ in Babylon still? Or? So this is the question to kind of warm up the participant. Brother Bronisław. There were some brethren in the Babylon, but since the return of our Lord and the voice, which we know from Revelation 13, my people come out of it, I think that the Lord's people are leaving Babylon. But I think that those who hear the words of good news may still be there, and they may still be coming out. I believe they will be able to recognize the truth and join us. I would say some time ago, the Babylon was more plentiful of those who were spirit begotten, but since the times of the second presence, the process of coming out made those individuals fewer in between. Brother Valenty, I would like to refer to the first part of the question, because maybe there are those here who for the first time hear about Babylon. And the question, do we have brethren in Babylon, may sound kind of difficult. So, for the record, Babylon, historically speaking, dates to the city which existed in the old times, the city which was destroyed and has never been rebuilt since. However, in the New Testament, we encounter the concept of Babylon, especially in the book of Revelation, one of the latest books speaks often about Babylon. So we speak about mystical Babylon, symbolical concept of which was also mentioned by Jeremiah, Isaiah. Jeremiah 57 and verse 7, Jeremiah calls the Babylon the golden cup in the hands of the Lord God, talking about the nations drinking of the cup of wrath. So, looking at the symbolic concept of Babylon, it is a concept which applies to the Gospel Age, the age when the teachings of our Lord Jesus came on the scene of the ages, and was often interpreted differently by different denominations, and in the symbolical meaning, Babylon, on one side, is a symbol towards the Lord, of the road leading towards the Lord, but it also is a symbol of the strange mixture, mixture of divine inspired doctrine and the human beliefs. So this is a concept which evolved through the ages, giving people sometimes some glimpses of the truth, attracting people, but that at the same time growing and evolving, morphing into a strange mixture of unclean things. But we have to state for the record that Babylon used to be a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. And prior to the fall of Babylon in Revelation 18:4, prior to the fall, Babylon was the place of abiding for many of the Lord's people. I don't know if we would talk more in details about how their time at Babylon looked like, but we know that the time came where the call was, come out of there, my people, if you believe and love the truth, above all, as Apostle Paul says in Thessalonians 2:13, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the love of the truth became a separating factor. So, in the between the 18th and 19th century, people were facing a dilemma, and that was the time when they were quitting and leaving, coming out of Babylon, as this was the reaction of the truth being presented to the people. But returning more quickly to your question, do we still have brothers and sisters in Babylon? We don't have a divine plan picture in front of us, but you have it memorized. Throughout the Gospel Age, the Christianity is placed on the level M, which is the line of justification. And in the days of parousia of our Lord, we see the picture how the system is falling down, which does not exclude us from assuming that there may be individuals there who may be still our brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters. In a moment, we're going to come back to this. Maybe we'll summarize a little bit and see if anyone in the audience would like to comment. So what we have heard so far and what Brother Valenti mentioned is a very practical application. If we accept that the Lord is not present and the harvest did not start, so the natural conclusion would be that Babylon is still a golden calf in the Lord's hand. So the Christianity or the mystical Babylon from Revelation, we are relating this, that's our shortcut, to the Catholic Church. So, the practical conclusion for those who don't believe the Lord returned is that the truth is all over the place in different Christian denominations. They are still a golden cup. So, we can pick up some truth here, some truth there, and it really doesn't matter. However, if we accept that the Lord is present, so the answer is different, because the call, come out of her, my people, I think makes it really simple for us. However, what you heard from the two brothers on this panel, they didn't say this as sharply and distinctly as I did. Because the question, do we have brothers and sisters in Christ in the nominal system? Anyone who would like to express the thought? Do we have anyone who would like to participate? What do you think? I don't know if I would be able to express clearly to your answer, but we have to also define what it means to be in Christ. If we understand certain teachings of the scripture clearly, and if there are those who profess the Trinity, etc., I would not call this brother and sister in Christ. The same way, I can say that, you know, there may be those among us who loosely connected may not fall into the title of being in Christ. So there is something important which relates to the fellowship, the relationship which we have with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. That's the question of new creation which develops towards certain direction. So the sister indicated here that being in Christ is a term which has to be understood. So then we will have to clarify what is the concept of Lord's people versus brothers and sisters in Christ. I agree with the thoughts expressed by the sister, and I would add to this Isaiah 4,
bardzo wyjaśnione. Mówią, że nie potrzebujemy Twojej odzieży, to znaczy przypadku już też można zrozumieć, że jeżeli ktoś w tych systemach, które już teraz Pan tak bardzo objawił, godzi się z tym, no to jest wątpliwe, taka szansa.
I would say the difficulty which we'll have, you cannot understand the concept of new creature and remain in the system. Anyone else would like to comment?
niepolskojęzyczny, też to zachęcam.
One who is not speaking Polish. I would like to describe it the following way.
Bo na przykład musi wejść na dziedziniec. Teraz
the followers of the Lord, speaking in a metaphorical way, you have to enter into the court. And after you enter into the court, you cross the first veil, the gate to the tabernacle. This is the symbol of our manhood or perfection, and certain program is required. We all have to match certain pattern of principles and behaviors in order to enter into the holy place. And part of this process is a very important step, to be baptized into his death. And if his offering is accepted, then we enter into the holy. So the state of a new creature, development takes place fully in the place which is called holy.
Bracia polscy nie mają rady.
Bracia polscy
nie mają rady, ale...
Okej, okay. Soda?
No to... Bracia polscy nie mają rady. Soda? Bracia polscy nie mają rady. Soda? Bracia polscy nie mają rady. Ja będę mówił i ja będę tłumaczył.
Na wyjście. Oh. I can...
By the person.
Ja mówię tam dupę o sorę. Care a venit de la baptiști.
La microfon.
Brat szuka siostry, która przyszła do nas od baptystów.
Și avem și alte exemple.
We have a sister that came from the Baptist, and we have many more examples that came from other confessions, and they are saying that they were never agreeing with the theory of the eternal torment.
Będę tak skracał tylko dla tych osób, które nie mają słuchawki, bo widzę, że nie wszyscy znają. Więc brat mówi, że są takie przypadki właśnie, którzy przyszli z nominalnego chrześcijaństwa i nie zgadzali się z nauką o piekle.
Deci, acesta este o dovadă, așa cum spune fratele Russell.
I'd say this is a proof, just as brother Russell is saying, that even now there are people that are under the roof of various Christian groups.
To są osoby, które są z ludu Bożego, które są z Mateusza 24 rozdziału na dachu.
Deci, cuvintele Domnului și
so the word of our Lord, and according to these witnesses, we see that there still are some begotten children of God, which are coming out, and they're led by the Holy Spirit.
Wyciąga wniosek, że jest to dowód na to, że są w Babilonie dzieci Boże, którzy słyszą wezwanie ludu mój wynić z Babilonu. Czy jeszcze z braterstwa ktoś chciałby na to pytanie odpowiedzieć?
Anyone else would like to contribute to this question related to do we have brothers in Christ in the nominal system? So one more person.
Czekaj od dawna, że i użyję takiego
since a long time ago, my opinion is that we may have brothers and sisters in Christ. However, the mentioned logic indicates that those who are there eventually will have to leave it. That means that there is a need for progression on their part, on the part of those who are still in the... So, here's the problem. The problem is that Babylon, the nominal system, is very difficult to identify properly, because by definition it is a falsification, a counterfeit of true Christianity. And you know the parable, Satan, who is dispersing the weeds in the Lord's field, so it's very difficult to distinguish the wheat from the tares. The only time when we can see the difference is during the harvest. Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if its ministers also be transformed as the minister of righteousness. So, I think that Satan, the instigator, had this idea in mind by building a system which is a counterfeit, which cannot be revealed until the appointed time. Second, it's an abomination. And by definition, Satan was a usurper of certain role and power. And he was the one who saw this error. So, we have to also stress that it's not only about the people, but the people who are in a way charmed into certain ways of behaving. The system caters to their desires and creates this dangerous mixture. The third thing I would like to stress, that the negative evaluation of this nominal system, Jeremiah 51:9, is the scripture which is indicating that Babylon cannot be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go. So we know that it was the Lord's final decision to destroy the Babylon. So that is why, as followers of Christ, we need to distance ourselves from the system, because it's the enticement and influences are dangerous and were deemed to be false, ready for destruction. Now, inside of the system, then there are people who are having good intentions to praise the Lord. So, let's not let ourselves to get into the line of thinking which is, well, let's go and heal them. Because it's a broken system which cannot be fixed. I would like to add my thought to this. In my line of logic, my interpretation, Lord's people, which is mentioned in this call, come out of her, my people, is a very large, much larger concept and notion that the brother and sister in Christ. Christians, good people, who want to serve the Lord, but have limited knowledge of the truth, especially the concept of the new creation, often believe in Trinity, etc. And the Lord mentioned in his prayer in Gethsemane, this is the eternal life, so that they may know thee, the true God, and his Son, which the Lord God himself sent. So the necessary condition for being Christ's, in the class of the Christ, brothers and sisters, is the understanding of this concept. So you need two legs to get into the kingdom. It's morality, faith, which confirm our deeds, and the other one, which is understanding of the Lord's plan. And it is impossible to just use one leg to progress towards the kingdom. So someone who is consecrated, devoted his life to the Lord, understand who the Lord is and the role he plays in the plan, and this recognition and realization of the plans and purposes provides for the impetus to leave. Revelation 18:2, we hear, and he cried in a strong, great voice, saying, Babylon the Great has fallen. It has fallen, and it has become a dwelling place of demons and prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean bird and hated. And verse 22, which continues about the fall of Babylon, and the sound of the harpen and the musicians and will not be heard. And the light of the lamp will not be seen in it. So, I believe that close ties with Babylon are dangerous.
Nominalnego chrześcijaństwa.
So if we see the fall of Babylon, so how should we behave?
Nie tylko chciałbym, żebyśmy rozmawiali o tym oczywistym.
We don't have much time to comment on the verse which was already come out for my people. But I would like us also to consider some other aspects, maybe expectations, which would be pertinent to us for this period of time. If you would like to continue in the lines of coming out of her, so I would like to suggest that we maybe qualify something which I think is important. Often talking about leaving or quitting Babylon, we can imagine someone who physically is Babylon, but spiritually is not in it. But the opposite is true. Maybe we left physically, but mentally are still in it. I think it is possible. The Lord showed it in his prayer. In the prayer in John 17. In John 17, he stresses that they are not from the world, as I am not from the world. And the Lord is requesting, I don't want you to take away from the world, but please protect them from evil. So I think that there is always a possibility for us to leave a system, organized religion, religious affiliation, and we can be independent for some time, go towards the Lord God and acknowledge His truth. But with time, we may go back to certain habits, certain things behind us, just like it was in the case of Lot's wife. So I think that physically we can abandon the system called Babylon and have nothing to do with it, but we still have a desire and we like it and we enjoy the company of people from that system and maybe even some practices. So that may be an indication that our emotions and feelings are still in the Babylonian system. So, I get it. You think that we can physically leave, but spiritually we may still be in Babylon. So it's kind of a mental attachment, inability to leave. I think it is possible, as Brother Valenti mentioned. And two quotes I would like to mention. But before I say that, let me mention what is the true description of the member. 1 Corinthians 3:3.
You are yet fleshly ones,
for where among you is jealousy and strife and division. You are fleshly. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18 and 19. Indeed, I hear that there are divisions to be among you when you come together in the assembly, and I believe it in some part. For also factions need to be among you, so that one, so the approved ones may become revealed among you.
So,
that the brethren meet together in one location, passage may suggest that the time may come that there will be time for revealing of our characters, what we have been building. So the time of proofing our Christian affiliation, so to speak. So I think it is possible. It may be our case. Don't look somewhere else. Look, we should look at ourselves because this is a real danger for all of us. We'll come back later to this question, if time allows, because it is kind of related to the seal of the beast. But I would like to quote another scripture, which indicates the true position and attitude of Christians. So Isaiah, 28th chapter, from 8 to 12. I would just focus on some aspects of it. So remember the verse. Standing and watching and being aware and awake during the night. So being watchful means that we have to be aware, be interested in the prophetic events, and being aware of them, and interpreting them somehow. So this is our duty. So the 12th verse states, so, watchman, what happened in the night? And the answer of the watchman is, so the watchman answers, the morning came, also the night. If you want to seek turn and return to the Lord. So the scripture So we have to present the truth, but we don't tell people what to do with it. But if we look at the preaching of the apostles, of Peter and Paul, I see a certain approach where the apostles provide a teaching, kind of disturbing the their state of mind. And I think that this verse is also an indication that we have to indicate that the kingdom is coming and the upcoming time of trouble, but also indicate that there is a reaction which is expected if you truly understand what we are saying. Isaiah 48 states, leave Babylon, flee for the from the Chaldeans. Assemble yourself and declare among the inhabitants of the earth. So those who are leaving Babylon, who are leaving the Chaldeans, should be joyfully sharing this message around themselves. They should be spreading the truth, what gives them the impetus to leave. So, the motivation which constitutes the joy and the motivation for them to leave is important, because once shared, it can be infectious. This joy can be infectious, and other people may notice and also leave. Thank you. Anyone in the audience would like to participate in this and contribute to this discussion? Someone? Brother Hubert Lipka from Germany, but speaking Polish. I think, brethren, as Isaiah 52 stated, maybe I will read those verses. These are ending verses of chapter 52. Lift up the voice together. Their Lord is returning to Zion. The Lord had came to comfort his people. The Lord will reveal his arm among all the nations, and they will all see the salvation. Depart ye, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch not unclean, so ye are out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. And Brother Russell mentioned this, I don't recall where, but I recall reading it, that if we left Babylon, if we left the system, we should not rest. We should not rest on rollers, laurels, but move on, continue, progress. We are in danger, like Lot's wife, of looking back and redeem the precious time which we have. Thank you. The picture of Lot's wife is very pertinent.
But that also brings us to the next subtopic which we would like to consider today. So how should we relate to this? Should we be only presenting the positive message about the kingdom, and if about the trouble, maybe just saying that this is the temporary thing, or maybe we should amplify the sins of Babylon and amplify all the sins of the nominal system? So what should be our message? Message not towards the Lord's people, but towards those who are in the system. What should we be amplifying? Immoralities, for example, what happens in the Catholic Church, but other nominal systems as well. Is this something which we should be doing? Brother Valentin, interesting question, but before I get there, allow me to comment on the fall of Babylon. One statement. Fall does not mean destruction, because the Babylon still exists, even though it has fallen. We have to distinguish the two concepts. Distractions from the fall. And what we know for sure, it ceased to be a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Now, to your question, should we be exposing, amplifying, mentioning the sins of Babylon? Well, it depends. I think it is very delicate and individual perspective, depending on the circumstances, depending on context. Because if you look at the picture of John the Baptist, we know that when he faced clear violations of principles of commandments, we cannot consent. And if we take this position, then we'll have the consequence. However, my personal experience is that it happened to me that in one place the people who were in the nominal system. And when we're talking about the kingdom of God, when we're talking about those beautiful, glorious things which the Lord promised, no death, no evil, no suffering, no sickness and tragedies, that it will all cease, when the conversation was going along those lines, those people were delighted and they paid attention. But the moment came when one of those individuals started talking about different sins of the visible in the nominal system. Those people stood up and left. So you have to judge what was the result. But after a while, when they came back, and we returned to the pleasant, beautiful topics, the discussion was still interesting to them. So I would say there is no strict rule. We should not be shy to name things the way they are. If we see the sin, we should say, this is wrong, this is a sin. But there will be also situations to forget about that, which is dirty and unclean, but show the beauty and the truth and the harmony which will motivate people to do the right thing. And one more witness, a story from a sister. sister who was really deeply involved in the Namyo system. And when she left it, rather abruptly, and came to our fellowship, she heard a talk which was strongly criticizing the nominal system and its sins. She said, you know, I left it behind, and this is really opening an old wound. So always give a witness to the truth. We should be focusing. Sometimes we have to expose sins, but let's focus on the beauty, harmony, and goodness of our Heavenly Father, because that's who He is. Father Bronisław, before you speak, let me add that maybe we even think about the same person. I remember that before I was the member of the class in Kraków, I gave delivered a talk which was related to what it means to be a Protestant. And in the audience, there was someone who just left the monastery. And she told me that after some time, years after that, she told me that even though I didn't know it, she considered my words as a personal attack on her. But she also took it as a moment of personal decision time, a tipping point where she had to determine, am I going to defend those errors, or am I going to step over this boundary and start a new beginning? It was difficult for her, considered a personal attack, but in the end, a very positive outcome. Well, I think it's not an easy topic, because each situation could be different, and each context demands different application. 2 Timothy 2:24. 2 Timothy 2:24. But the servant of the Lord would not be easy to quarrel, but to be gentle towards all, up to teach, forbearing, in meekness instructing the opposing. So that is the true attitude of the Lord's people and how they should react in every situation. And that's what I'm learning. And one day I was coming back from a youth meeting in Chrzanów, and I was full of zeal and energy, and I see a priest entering into the compartment. So I thought I should start immediately. So I asked him, what have you done with the second commandment? And I started talking about, you know, the idols, images, etc. And on the way from Chrzanów to Kraków, and the next stations, he left the train and did not want to sit next to me. Even though he was going to the faraway station, he quit the train and left. At work, different friends and acquaintances take the opportunity when we talk about problems and issues which are already perceived by the members of the system. So I remember when in the Polish theaters there was a movie revealing the deprivation among the young priests in the seminaries. They knew, my friends at first knew who I was, and they came to me with those things and asking me. So I consider this an opening and moral approval on their point, because they were interested in it. So I was at ease to tell them more about it. And, you know, when we go into a company training and sometimes in the evening they come and they ask me to tell them something about the fall of Babylon. So for me it was a total shock. And so I told them because they asked me about it. So maybe they were motivated by something really horrible which took place in the church. But that was an opportunity, an opening for me to tell them what is meant in the scriptures by the nominal system, by Christianity and the fallen system. So I told them whatever I could, and I take it as an indication that an opening, because people come and ask us, it's a different story. We shouldn't initiate it. So even when we see issues which are revealed or make them manifest themselves in the system, we have to be very careful not to jump on it and beat up on people who are in the system and having a joyful attitude of, finally you have what you asked for. So let's leave it in the Lord's hand. Proverbs 24, 17-18. Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumble. Lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So even when we see the punishment from the Lord coming, from the Lord above on people, we have to stay away from this attitude of, you got what you deserve. Finally, you got the punishment. Anyone in the audience, in this hall, who would like to comment, if we should be commenting and revealing the sins of the nominal system? In Poland, we have a newspaper which is called No, and Fact and Myths. And some of the brethren like to read those things, because there you can find a lot of sins and misunderstanding and faults of nominal Christianity. Is this the theme which we should be considering in our conversations related to God? First, Brad Hubert. The topic is vast, but Brother Russell gave us a really good advice. In his work, we do not see much of the criticism. Only mentioning of things which were already revealed and known to the world at large. So in this sense, we have to ask the Lord for wisdom, for His Spirit, to know the situation well and to properly consider it. And we are told that if you don't speak, the stones will speak. I don't know if I should tell you this story, but one day I was going to work, and 2 years ago when I was going to work, this was something different, affairs in the Catholic Church in Germany, and the journalist stated the following. The time came. No, he said it this way. The Catholic Church, the system which exists there, can be compared to a dark place where the light does not shine in, and the light does not seem to permeate this place. But the time is coming that someone is leaving the door ajar, and the light is shining, exposing what's happening inside. And the journalist stated, those doors would never be shut. They will remain open or even be open wider. And that proves to me that the world understands, the world in Germany, not only the Catholic Church, but evangelicals have the same problem. They are so advanced in this immorality. And the journalists are exposing this all over the place. This is how the Lord exposes everything. So, you know, we don't even have to do much because the people in the world will do it. Brother, I don't know if you know, but before Brother Russell wrote the first volume, he wrote something else, similar content, but it was the Food for Thinking Christians. And this Food for Thinking Christians was very critical.
Un exemplu foarte frumos cu Domnul Iisus Hristos când l-a întrebare, răspunde cu întrebare sau provoca. Și unde trăim noi și lucrăm, ne știu tăți că suntem credincioși și avem mai multe confesiuni.
No, there are multiple denominations, like Pentecostals, Adventists, Orthodox. And when we talk to them, I show them that God is love and He wants to restore the man back to what it used to be. And when we have discussions with them, the Orthodox Christians, they saw that we are not really condemning them, because they see that the others are trying to condemn them, to show them that they are wrong. But we are trying to show them that they are, that God is love, and He wants to give the man back what he has, the perfect earth and the perfect nature, with one with one condition, to obey. So that's how we should talk to others. We should just maybe through questions and just showing them the right way instead of showing them that they are wrong. Pastor Russell, in first volume on in the in the 1916 edition, he said that in the past we had a different approach. We were attacking the error, and then we were building the truth. And we saw that it wasn't what we were expecting. And now we don't do that anymore. Now we don't attack anymore. We just talk about the truth. And people are open to listen to us. Even they themselves, they see the difference and they give up on the error. Of course, those who are interested. Those who aren't, we can't do anything. I think this is the wise way to go. And just as Brother Lipka said,
să condamnăm sau să facem de rușine.
We can't condemn or we can't ashame the others. I think this is the wisest way. And God has other ways to do this work.
I agree with those thoughts expressed here. I would add our Lord's example. When he quoted the 61st chapter of Isaiah, he did not quote certain words. He stopped and he said to declare the merciful year of the Lord. Isaiah continues about the vengeance, the day of vengeance of our God. Not only acceptable year of the Lord. So, it is far important to point towards why certain things result in this evil, bad behavior. It is far more important because they explain the mechanism which is explaining the wrath of the Lord. So, I think it would be far more effective. Thank you. I don't see any more volunteers. I think it's a very interesting subject, and all depends on situation and context. But the principle, it's better to talk about His goodness, greatness, His plan, the kingdom, 1,000 years reign, than to point towards errors. An example. So, I was at work presenting, and one of the friends told me, he says, you know what? You didn't shave your head properly. You still see the hair on your back of your head. So after this comment, I couldn't focus on my job at hand. And, you know, I really did not perform well. So sometimes when we criticize, we shut the door of opportunity and people cannot accept certain things. But when someone else is pointing this out, like the media or the members of the system themselves, that may be an open door for a little bit of the truth. And we should always remember John the Baptist, example, who was uncompromised in his approach. He spoke clearly and directly what was moral, what was immoral. We were supposed to continue with John the Baptist, but I think it would be more interesting for us to consider the following, seal of the beast, which we mentioned a little bit earlier, also at the convention. Not directly, but I think we were relating to it. So let's go to this aspect, which is relates to the nominal Christendom. Is the seal of the beast future or present, which is taking place in our days? And what would that mean? What is the seal of the beast? Oh, future? Present? And how do we interpret this? Let's try to make it short. I always thought that the time would come when this would be visible, and we have to be ready, prepared to resist, to do not give in to this evil influence. And when we were studying this subject, 16th chapter of Revelation, I heard the thought which really interested me. It was, you know, we all, one time or another in our life, may be exposed to this seal, to this sign, and to this influence of the beast. And it's not everyone did the same thing, but it may depend on the spiritual state of your life, and it may happen once for you, another time for me. How about what is meant by this sign? We have several verses in Revelation talking about it. 13th chapter, 14th chapter, and other, including verse 20, relate to this influence of the beast. So, being short, I understand that this is the force, religious force, which will be tightly knit and connected with civil powers, as Revelation indicates, and it will be under cover of providing a better order in the world filled with anarchistic spirit. The intent is good, the great idea of cleaning up this world, but during this time, this religious influence will be trying to eliminate diverse or thoughts which do not agree with the religious system. Brother Bronisław, briefly. In addition to what Brother Valentin said, in Revelation 13, we are told about two beasts. First is the nominal Christian Catholic system, and then the second one, the Protestants. And it's interesting to notice that the Protestant system are the main instigator and initiating force, which is also provoking the Roman Christians. It's just a new chapter in their relationship. So it is possible that Roman Christian will make a big difference, will pass to a different phase, and this transformation will be instigated, provoked by the Protestants. So, I think it will be a great experience, a great initiative, and I believe in our days we can see an overture to this, and we are in the risk of being swept by the current of the system, either opposing it or following it. So when the experiences take place, as Scripture says, the faith of the saints will be tried and exposed. We're talking about Revelation 13. We have the beast, which is speaking blasphemy, and she's given the power to be in power for 42 months. So this is really the time of persecution of the true church. And the second beast has two horns, just like the lamb, but talks as a dragon. And we usually interpret this as Protestantism pretending relating to love and mercy, but behaving like Satan. My thought is that I would like to mention to you, and I would relate to Brother Adam Olszewski's talk from this convention. I think that this Protestantism and Protestant movement in the charismatic form. So the desire to perform miracles, speak in languages, and charismatic stressful, they are really reinforcing the authority of the Catholic Church. And the second beast makes the image of the first beast, which is really the Catholic Church. And we know that this Catholic Church is, which is really the hierarchy. So, the contribution from the second beast is really submitting and worshipping the first one. And those who oppose it are going to be beheaded, because they cannot exist, they cannot sell, buy, etc. So, the mark of the beast, which is mentioned by this prophecy, really is a mark of whose slave you are. So this is a relation to the slavery times, indicating the owner of the slave owner. So let me ask you this. What do you think? The Bible students, are the Bible students considered Christian movement by the nominal system? No. No. We are the Protestants. The different Christian denominations do not consider us Christians because we do not believe in Trinity. You can check it on Wikipedia, on internet. Any site which talks about different religious sects states that, and different Bible students, ecclesias are enumerated there as a sect because of this criteria. We are outside. Personally, I think that the risk of mark of the beast is already among us today. Why do I think this way? If it was really and clear, it would not be a problem. If we talk about one religious organization which is taking over, it would not be a temptation to us. We are pretty much immune to one central organization in the world. But it is my opinion that we are exposed to a different temptation. That the mark of the beast, and I agree here with Brother Russell, this is ecumenical spirit. However, I quote qualify that by saying that this is ecumenical spirit in the charismatic movement. In the charismatic movement, and one day I read something about this. This is one of the founder of charismatic movement. It was January 1st, 1901. And in describing the beginning, the background, the etymology of the charismatic movement, he ended by stating where the ecumenical movement failed us in a place where we, charismatic Christians, can achieve the greatest progress. So if we look at different Christian denominations, all Christian denominations which accept Trinity, Methodists, Catholics, Baptists, all of them, they all accept charismatic gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing, etc. They all do accept and consider those. Only the churches which are not accepting Trinity reject this approach to charismatic movements. They are not considered Christian. But independently on how we understand this, the last question, what are the symptoms of the mark of the beast, of the seal of the beast? How do we defend ourselves? What does it mean to accept the mark of the beast? The scripture states that it's a mark on the forehead or on the hand. What does this practically mean? I think that the forehead means, indicates intellectual understanding, acceptance, harmony with certain principles or situations. But then it is confirmed by our actions, by the deeds which relate to the hand. The act usually is symbolized by the hand. Hand is a symbol of action. So we see the first symptoms of this. We start with thinking, and then we end up doing. So it goes slowly. First, it's an intellectual consent, and later on, it's a silent consent, approval, and then it comes to act, deed, works, which prove that we are fully in line with the mark of the beast. You're stressing here the intellectual acceptance. And the other situation is that we can intellectually say, no, that's not like that, but in act, indeed, in practice, we can participate in the actions. Brother Bronisław, you would like to add to this? I agree with that. In our fellowship, we explain that the forehead represents the way we think, and the hand represents the way we act. I will read 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of the devil. So I think that the way of thinking concerns those who were in the truth. It's a sign of neglect. And they are under the influence of Satan and devil because they accept the doctrines, the teachings, which are represented by the mark on the 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So this is about turning away from fundamental doctrines and exact analysis and understanding of the Old and New Testament of the prophecies. If we put this on the side, then we will have problems.
że to znamie możemy tak przyjąć.
What is also important here that we can accept this mark without even knowing.
Tak, w 12 rozdziale jest
Daniel, prophecy of Daniel, when he talks about the last days.
12:10.
We can be endangered by the mark of the beast. Daniel 12:10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So the Lord, speaking through prophet Daniel, states clearly, this is the principle of the Lord. If you want to have understanding of the truth, you have to be fear the Lord, lead the moral life, and behave properly. If you neglect this part, it will eventually corrupt your intellectual understanding. So, from changed thinking, we go to acts, and false ideology becomes an act. I will read Matthew 24. And I was considering three different temptations. Verses 5 says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you know what happened, right? The history of the Catholic Church took place and became the dominant religion. Only us, we have the unique understanding, and there will be many false prophets, and the love of many shall cease. So, this is verse 11 and 12. Love of many shall wax cold. So, that took place during the wars. And finally, 24th verse. For there shall arise false Christians and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Inasmuch that it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So, I think it's a distinct temptation and danger, because a totally different group is exposed here to this danger. The signs are clear. We're after our time, but it would be bad if we didn't ask the last question. How to defend ourselves? I would like to add here that one thing. Why is it so important? To avoid the mark of the beast. I think that relates to the freedom of thought and freedom of action. During the entire gospel age, the church considered Christ as the head, who always was in charge. The Lord was in charge of the church and its development. But if we give in into the mark of the beast, this human arrangement or this mixture of religious and civil powers, this is all done to be a substitute of this primacy and importance of Jesus, and it's placed with the human idea. So, in this respect, the church members will be exposed. So, how to defend against this? Well, the best way would be to be diligent, prayer and careful consideration to watch and pray, so we don't enter into the temptation. So, what leads us to a good defense system, it is a free flow of information which will educate our consciousness and our Christian understanding. Our dangers are going to be critical to us. This, we can lose our life. Revelation 20 talks about the victors who did not take the mark of the beast, who did not accept the mark of the beast. So, this is something which is a subtle temptation, which would be far away from the true church, but the scripture states that some did. Apostle Peter, in the second epistle, he indicates about the end of this coming world, of the coming time of trouble. But I think these are corresponding events. The deception and the trouble are closely related. The Revelation chapter 16 seems to indicate that. Armageddon followed up by the deception and the total destruction of Babylon. Apostle Peter, when he relates to the Lord's Day, 2 Peter 3, verse 11 and 17. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, be aware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Thank you, Brother Bronisław. Brother Valenty states watchfulness, prayer, good deeds. I would like to add to this list 2 Thessalonians 2 from 9. That the evil one will come with all the deceitfulness of error, and especially impacting those who did not accept the love of the truth which could have saved them. This is why the Lord gives them the illusions. So, brethren, the love of the truth is a saving grace, of course, through our Lord Jesus and our Savior, but this is the element which will be critical, which will tilt the scale. And this is really the good example or the good metaphor of the light. If you want to learn the truth, you approach the light. The truth, the light, will expose the behavior. So, you have to be careful because it will enlighten you and it will become effective. So in our days, in our Christian fellowship, we notice views that knowledge is not necessary, that spiritual development is not necessary, that the prophecies are not needed. Brethren, notice that the light here, in this context, would be denied. And we hear that tendency to say this is not important. What is important is love and not knowledge. So I think it's a very dangerous spirit. So exposing all the believers to deception. If we reject doctrines, teachings, prophecies, deep analysis of the scriptures, how are we going to find out if a given teaching is a deception or not? We are exposing ourselves to a serious danger of deception by Satan. This is our contemporary danger. It's less important what other groups believe. We cannot cover error with love. This is a false ideology, and we have to state this clearly. Thank you. First Corinthians. Truth. Love rejoices in the truth. So to stress what Brother Bronek just expressed, I would like to read two fragments which relate to the mark of the beast. Revelation 7, where we read about four angels supporting four corners of the earth and four winds. And then there's another angel which comes, verse 2, with the seal of the living God, and cried with a loud voice to the four angels, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Not on the heart. On the forehead. Not on the heart. On the forehead. And we just said what the forehead represents. Intellectual understanding of the truth. So, this is our protection against the beast. Second fragment, it's chapter 14, and this is the patience of the saints. These are the patience of the saints. They keep the commandments and the faith of Jesus. Not some type of faith. The faith of Jesus. And I looked and I beheld a white cloud, verse 14, and upon the cloud one said like unto the Son of Man, symbolic John, the class members, the church members, see the Son of Man, and on his head golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. What is represented by the sickle? The truth. This is the summary of the mark of the beast. So I believe that in summary of today's discussion should be the conviction that the fellowship we build on the love of the truth. And on this foundation, we raise extremely important strong feelings of love on the fundamentals of the truth. And may this discussion and meeting be an encouragement to love the truth, to apply it and to preach to others and apply in everyday life. I speak primarily for myself, and I hope that we'll receive the blessing And we want to thank our Lord for this opportunity to. And we'll do that by asking Brother Sitarski to close with the word of prayer. Beloved God, we want to thank you again for the privilege of being here and for the privilege of considering thy holy words. We thank thee for our Savior who gave his life on the cross for all of us, sinners. So we pray, Lord, that you bless our efforts. And we ask this not only for ourselves, but for all thy children worldwide in different difficulties, sickness, experiences, calling upon thy help. And all we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dopóki tutaj, nie wiem, czy dzisiaj będzie chór o 18 śpiewał, czy nie? 18. No więc dopóki tutaj brat Tim z chórem się nie spotka, to jeszcze możemy chwilę porozmawiać. Jeżeli braterstwo by chcieli, już tak mniej formalnie. Czy dziękujemy serdecznie za uczestnictwo.
No braterstwo w tym sensie, który brat Bronek już wymieniliście.